Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Gunsmoke in Fort Laramie. Raymond Burr does a nice job on this episode of Fort Laramie, as does Kathleen Height as its writer. And Les Crutchfield will write our episode of Gunsmoke. And Gunsmoke features actor Barney Phillips that was in our last episode of Fort Laramie. And I just love Barney Phillips' voice. He's got such a great commanding voice. So anyway, I hope you enjoy both these episodes, and we'll see you next time.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie! Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
I think maybe I'm wearing thin on this stable detail beam. This is 3 days running we drew this duty.
Anytime you want to tell me something I don't know, I'm willing to listen, Harrison.
Tomorrow morning, come fatigue call, I got a mind to bust out of line and volunteer for something more elevating.
I don't see how there's a job on this post more elevating than readying up a stable.
You ain't ever got a complaint, have you?
There's a long list of things I ain't never got, Harrison.
A man ought to want change in his life. He ought to seek it out. Try for it. Change, that's what keeps a man's interest alive.
When you bust out of line tomorrow morning, why don't you volunteer for post chaplain?
Now, you think you got off a good one there, don't you, Beam? You're just right pleased with your fine touch of humor.
I thought you knew I was comical.
Oh, I'm standing here near busting laughing. That's how comical you are.
I'll make this arrangement with you, Harrison. I won't talk to you if you won't talk to me.
I'd admire to do that. I just admire to. Bean? Come on, Beam, you hear me all right.
That's one of the shortest arrangements I ever had.
Yeah, well, let's rest a spell.
I'm agreeable.
Rest a spell. And have a chaw.
You're getting more likable, Harrison.
No sense in us going at each other. Working as close as we do, living as close. I want to make friends with you, Beam.
Starting when?
This minute.
You ain't one for ceremony now, are you?
Couple of good friends where we are. It's only right we should rest a spell and have a chaw.
I'm willing.
You, got a chaw, ain't you?
You talking about tobacco?
Of course I am.
I can't call the time I had a plug tobacco.
You lying to me, Beam.
Now, we being such good friends the way we are, why should I lie to you?
You're chawing, ain't you? Been chawing all morning.
Well, sure I'm chawing.
You ain't chawing tobacco? What are you rolling around on your tongue? Shifting one side of your mouth to the other?
Kinnikinick.
Say that again.
Kinnikinick.
You being comical again, Bean?
You're just a boy. I keep forgetting. You don't recollect the war much.
I recollect the war better than I recollect that king... whatchamacallit?
It's bark. Injuns taught us Yanks about it. Red willow bark, I think it is. Anyways, they'd cut it deep from the trees. Cut it into shreds. They used it most for smoking.
You cut into any red willow trees up here on the high plains, Bean?
Well, not me. But last time we was down on the agency, I got me some off a squaw.
I swear you're lying to me.
Boy, here, in my pocket. Help yourself. Hankering for chaw makes one.
Well, it's dry as sand.
Well, you've got to work it some.
Yeah. Tastes funny. You sure stuff's off a willow tree?
Red willow.
Or, how come they look so pleasing and taste so bad?
Well, I didn't say it was good. You wanted a chaw, I obliged you.
Yes.
Yeah, I said you was just a boy.
Well, sometimes I'm hungry. I don't eat a polecat because that's all I got handy.
You got a taste for tobacco. Why don't you buy yourself some? The sutler keeps a fine line. A Bull Durham seal in North Carolina.
You know why I don't buy. I got no money. Same as you. Same as every trooper on this post. That paymaster ain't been through here in 4 months.
And before that, it was 6.
No money. Pliny, he won't give me no more credit.
You ain't all alone, you know, Harrison. Ain't nobody been paid in 4 months' time.
I'm going to do something, Bean. I don't rightly know what it is now, but that Pliny, he's going to give me some more credit somehow.
Major Daggett, sir?
Oh, Captain Quince. He's about to send for you.
Yes, sir?
I thought this morning's drill went very well.
Seemed to.
But there's one thing that's becoming a problem. Selecting my orderly for the day. I want you to give some thought to it.
In what way?
Well, as I say, the drill seems sharp enough. Soldiering generally is good. The men are keeping the post in good order. The men themselves are the problem about this orderly business.
Let's see now. The book says the neatest and smartest trooper will be chosen as orderly of the day for the commanding officer.
It's supposed to be an honor, Captain. A recognition for good soldiering. Lately, my orderlies have been smart enough, but the neatness is severely lacking.
I'll speak to B Company about it, sir.
We still employ laundresses at Fort Laramie, Captain. And the clothing allowances are far better than they used to be.
Well, when they come.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Just that the paymaster hasn't stopped here since mid-spring.
4 months. I'm aware of that.
Summer soldiering's tough, Major. Campaigns are hard, weather's hot. Neat and clean is a big order.
A good soldier will still make the effort. Pass the word, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Oh, now then. You want to see me about something?
Yeah? The paymaster. I wondered if he's heading our way at all.
Are you running short of funds, Captain?
I'm not asking for myself, sir.
Let's see. Last word I had, he was here at Fort Omaha. And with the stops to make between here and there, I can't say with certainty when we should expect them.
That'd mean stops at Fort Kearney, McPherson, here at the North Platte Station, and Fort Mitchell before he gets here.
Unless he cuts off down to Fort Sidney after he leaves North Platte Station.
Well, 4 months is a long time for the men to go without pay, Major.
I know it. Unfortunately, the route and schedule of the paymaster is not within my province. Are there hardship cases, Lee?
I'm hearing no complaints directly.
I don't like it either. But they're fed and clothed, and I'm sure Pliny's doing the best he can in the way of extending credit.
You are?
Well, he'd be a fool not to.
Pliny likes money, Major. Got a real respect for it. I don't think he feels just the same toward extending credit.
Yes, that's... Well, I don't know. That's not enough. No, that's not nearly enough. Oh, I might want to put it in a safer place, though. Yes, I might want to do that. So I just put it in these sacks here. Well, yeah, it feels good.
Morning, Pliny. I'll
be with you in just a minute.
What do you call that stuff?
Why, money, Sergeant. Yes, money.
Oh, now, Pliny, you don't call that money. You get alone with a couple of sacks of that, and you know blame well you call it sweetheart or something loving like that.
Oh, that's not true. No. I call it money. Not really, I do. Money.
Well, what you gonna do? Bury it? See if it'll grow?
Indeed not. Nah, that can be very dangerous, you know, burying money. Just get these sacks here.
Say, you're getting some shin plasters in there with the big bills.
Oh, my, I wish they'd quit making them. It's confusing. You think you got a nice roll of bills, and then some of them 3-cent notes get in there, and a gee. Yeah, besides, it won't, you know.
It won't?
No, indeed. No, indeed. An exploded theory years ago.
What is?
If you bury money, it will not grow.
Well, now, I learned something today.
Yes, many years ago, too. Let's see. There, that completes... Now, just put these sacks in my safe and everything. Are you wanting to buy something?
What kind of cigars you got?
Oh, we got some fine Havanas, just the best there is. Here, I keep them over in the cabinet by the door, under lock and key.
Pliny. It's me, Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, I see who it is. Oh. Well, I've got long nines, supers, and short sixes.
And I got a 3-cent shin plaster.
Where?
Right here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so you have. 3 cents. Well. Now, these short sixes are nice.
They give them away in saloons.
Oh, they give them away? Free?
Try not to think on it, Pliny. It might make you queasy.
Free? Well, my goodness.
Sometimes I pay as high as a cent for two of them.
Two for a cent? Well, now, I might let you have one super, but just one, mind you, for 3 cents.
I had my mouth set for a long nine after supper.
Oh, now, you don't really expect that, Sergeant. A long nine for 3 cents? Why, I'd stand to lose... let me see now. How much would I...
You'd stand to make 2 cents, easy.
But these are from New England, Sergeant. Tell the truth, I'm running short of them. Now, this is the last barrel, and
you're practically forcing me into a saloon, Pliny.
You're really desperate for a good smoke, aren't you?
Not near as desperate as you are for my last 3 cents.
You won't bandy this about the post?
I could bandy my head off, and there wouldn't be no run on your store, Pliny. The way that paymaster takes his time, I stand to be one of the few men at Fort Laramie that's still got a 3-cent note.
Yes, well, now, let me see. Long nine? All right, help yourself, Sergeant. 2-1 for 3 cents.
Afternoon, Mr. Sabbats.
Oh, good afternoon, Captain Quince.
Working on your journal and taking the air at the same time, huh?
Too hot in my quarters, but more of a breeze out here.
You feel the breeze off these plains. You're an optimist, Mr. Sabbats. It's hot. Hot as sin.
Wonder if it's this hot where the paymaster is.
Not near as hot as where most of the men wish he was.
Oh, I didn't mean that, sir.
I did. You feeling the pinch, too, Mr. Sabbats?
No, sir. I'm fine, thank you, Captain. I was just thinking maybe it's the weather delaying the paymaster again. Last time it was snow.
It was last month, wasn't it? Well, last month you passed that tobacco around among the men.
My uncle sent it, the one in Connecticut. I wrote him, sort of suggested it'd be nice to get some more, but either he hadn't gotten the letter yet or he didn't get the idea.
It was a good thing, Mr. Sabbats.
Thank you, sir.
You You still serving on the Council of Administration?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Still have charge of the post fund, do you?
That's part of the duty.
How much money in it?
Let me see now. I have the exact figures in the ledger up in my quarters. I'll run up and get
them. Oh, never mind that. You got an idea how much, haven't you?
Well, I'd have to think a moment. According to the general orders, the sutler pays 10 cents for every officer and enlisted man. That's 10 cents a month, payable every 2 months.
About $30 a month, then.
Roughly that.
$360 a year. Have we had any cause to disturb it recently, Mr. Syberts?
Well, we bought garden seeds a couple of months ago. That's in accordance with Provision D of the general orders.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we took some out to buy newspapers. That's according to the last part of Provision C.
I just wanted an idea of how much, Mr. Syberts.
I think close to $500, very close to that.
Suppose we let the men draw on it till the paymaster comes.
Draw on it?
Yeah, borrow it.
For what purpose?
Tobacco, beer, whatever use they want to put it to.
But the general orders are specific as to the uses of the fund, Captain.
I'm aware of that,
but an independent decision. That is to say, this order comes from the Adjutant General's office. I have a copy of them here. When I was appointed to the Council of Administration, I made the orders part of my personal record.
No need to read me the orders, Mr. Simon.
Oh, no trouble, sir. I'll be glad to refresh my own memory. Here it is. General Orders Number 22, dated April 7, 1866. Well, the first part deals with the sutler requiring that he make this payment for the privilege he enjoys as post-trader.
Well, I just thought if the men could look on it like it was their own money, not a handout.
Well, here's the part I was talking about, sir. The post fund is to be used for A, the expenses of a bakehouse, B, the establishment of a post school for uneducated soldiers who might desire schooling, and for the children of the soldiers.
I was thinking more like a plug of tobacco.
C, the establishment of a library and the purchase of newspapers. D, for the purchase of garden seeds. That's the provision I mentioned previously.
Tobacco or a glass of beer. You know, this hot weather, a man ought to enjoy a glass of beer.
And then finally,
wants.
Provision E provides...
Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir?
I'm getting the idea there's no provision for beer and tobacco when the paymaster's late.
That's correct, sir. I'm sorry to say that there isn't.
Well, thank you for your time, Mr. Syberts.
Captain Quince, I could get a letter off to the Adjutant General's office asking for clarification.
Oh, no, that's a bad habit to get in, writing Washington for clarification. You get into that, you'd have to give up soldiering.
I think maybe I'll go face him alone, Beam. You could linger outside here, in case I needed help or like that.
You got a scheme. I want to hear what it is.
I had a scheme I wouldn't mind telling you. First thought comes fresh into my mind, I'm going to say it to Pliny. Sometimes the first thing I think is best.
You want to take some kinnikinick before you traipse in there? Might work up your courage.
I want no such thing. You linger here now.
If you like, be with you as soon as I close the safe.
Take your time, Pliny.
Ah, there we are. Now then, what can I do if you... It's you, Trooper. I thought it might be a customer.
I mean to be. Now, what I had in mind...
Trooper Harrison, we've been through this before. Many times. Oh, any number of times.
We have no such thing. Not this
credit. I've been extremely generous about extending credit.
Not recent, Gene.
Oh, but you're wrong. You're wrong. Last evening, I was looking over my accounts. Now, the paymaster is 4 months late, as it is.
Now, I know that without looking into my accounts.
Hear me out, boy. Now, hear me out. Well, I discover that if you give me your full 4 months' pay, we'd still have some accounting to do, you and I.
You think I'd come in here, face the shame of asking your favor, if it wasn't real important?
Well, I don't know, would you?
A man's got his pride, Pliny.
Yes, I suppose so. And next to a man with good credit, give me a man with pride. Every time.
It's my ma, Pliny. My old gray-haired ma.
No. Oh.
Guess you know how I feel about my old ma.
Well, of course I do, indeed. Of course. Your old ma. Why, sure.
Well, now, she's got a big day coming real soon. And it come to me...
Say, another big day?
What do you mean?
Well, last night, you remember the accounts? I noticed she had a birthday just a few weeks ago.
She did?
Yes. Oh, we got up a nice selection of gifts for her. Half a dozen plugs of tobacco, and it seems to me we tucked in some cigars for Mother.
Fine Kentucky woman, my old ma.
Oh, yeah. And the month before that, on her birthday, we bought Mother 2 jugs of whiskey and a pipe.
Well, now, you recollect about them jugs. Remember they got broke over in the barracks?
That's right. Got broke, and not a drop of whiskey reached the floor. Oh, yes, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, well...
When is Mother's birthday this month?
Oh, now... It's not her birthday this time, Pliny. It's... This time... Well, this time she's...
Hmm?
She's, having a baby.
A baby? Oh. Mother is having a baby. Oh, my.
Fine Kentucky woman, my old ma.
Yes, isn't she? Oh, we'll want to do something about that now, won't we?
Yeah. I thought we'd get up another batch of plug for some cigars. And this time we'd take special care of them jugs don't get broke.
Oh, all the care in the world, yes, for Mother.
Yeah, I'll give you a hand. You want to start putting everything together?
Yes. Yes, I'll just get you done. Yes.
What you doing?
Here, now, you write down Mother's address.
Write it down for what?
For the parcels. My goodness, we're not going to take any chances this time. No, sir. I'll march these to the post office. Mail them to Mother myself.
Oh, Pliny.
No extra charge, none whatsoever.
Captain Quince reporting, Major.
Oh, sit down, Captain.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, I guess this is the news we've been waiting for.
The paymaster?
He's at North Platte Station awaiting our escort. You want the duty, Captain?
It's all right with me.
Pick your men. Leave as soon as you can.
Yes, sir.
If things go as they should, you'd be back here by late Friday, right?
Right.
Good luck, Captain.
You worried about the escort, Major?
Of course not. You know what I'm worried about.
Yeah. Well, I'll stop in Laramie Village if you like. Warn them to get ready for attack.
I suppose I could double the guard starting Friday night. But it wouldn't be fair, would it, Captain?
Wouldn't do much good either. Maybe just have the officers stand by as usual.
That's all we can do. Well, move out, Captain.
Yes, sir. 4 months' payroll for 300 men. Well, you might not have a problem, Major.
We always do. I don't see how we can avoid it this time.
Well, maybe we'll be lucky. Maybe we'll be hijacked on the way back.
I came as soon as I could, Captain. I never saw anything like this in my life, sir.
What a sight, Mr. Syberts.
Are all the men accounted for?
They won't be for days. Some of them we may lose entirely, Mr. Syberts.
You mean desertion?
A few. Some of them just been waiting for money enough to get out of here. I've got a fresh new batch to tend to.
The last from the village, Captain.
Well, they look kind of limp.
Yeah, and I had to help them get that way, sir. Harrison there bought a raft of lead powder in town. He had in mind to blow Piney up, he said.
Well, the hospital's full. They're stacked three deep in the guardhouse. Now, just take them to their barracks, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Seibert?
Yes, Captain?
There's still a guard around the powder magazine?
Oh, yes, sir. Major Daggett's directing that personally.
Good.
The men, they wouldn't bother the powder magazine, would they?
They might, Mr. Seibert. Might blow up Fort Laramie, or they might just pool their money and buy it. This army might do anything on payday.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Tom Henley. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Howard McNear, Sam Edwards, and Clayton Post. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Seibert's.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier. And the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
This is Norman MacDonald. 67 years ago, as the first hint of autumn stole across the Laramie Plain, the decree was issued to close Fort Laramie as a military post. It was a routine order, couched in the clipped, impersonal language of the Army. Fort Laramie had served its purpose. Close it down. Put a period to a chapter of history. Put an end to an era. That's what the decree really said. For the abandonment of the fort on the Laramie marked the closing of the frontier. The story of Fort Laramie is a monument to ordinary men who lived in extraordinary times, of a land that was new and untried, as cruel as it was beautiful. It's the story of small numbers of men with good in them and bad, heroism and cowardice, honor and dishonor. Ordinary men. Ordinary men whose enemies were the rugged, uncharted country, the heat, the cold, disease, boredom, and perhaps, last of all, hostile Indians. Men lived at Fort Laramie and men died there, of drowning, freezing, typhoid, smallpox. Some may even have died from boredom. But it's a matter of record that in all the years the cavalry was stationed at Fort Laramie, only four troopers died of gunshot wounds. And so we mark the 67th anniversary of the closing of Fort Laramie, glad of our chance to reopen it, to tell the story of a proud landmark of the Old West and the ordinary men who served there. We'll be right back.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M, the modern cigarette that lets you get full, exciting flavor through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. Live modern. Smoke L&M. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Now, if that sure don't beat all.
Oh, what's the matter, Chester?
Odie Perkins, coming down the street there with a mat on so thick you can feel it right through the winder.
Oh? Odie's not a man to get tempered easy.
Well, he sure is now, Mr. Dillon. He's a doggone riled. He's leaving a blue streak behind him. It's the gospel truth, look.
That can't be anything serious.
Marshal Dillon.
Oh, morning, Odie.
Marshal. I'm here to call on the power and protection of the law in all its majesty and might.
Well, that's a pretty tall order, Odie. You got some reason for needing the law?
Reason? I got reasons that go back as far as 15 years. Marshal, I want to swear out a complaint, an injunction, a bench warrant, whatever it is it takes to get a certain low-life scum evicted from the premises, run out of Dodge, banished from the territory, and horsewhipped to boot, if you can work it in somehow.
What's a certain person done, Odie, to deserve that kind of attention?
It ain't what he's done as much as what he is. And I ought to know it long before this, but he sure had me fooled.
You're not by any chance talking
I'm talking about Brace McCoy. That's who I'm talking about. And I even hate to let his sneaking name soil my lips.
Yeah, but Odie, you and Brace have been partners as long as I can remember.
Oh, not no more. We ain't not since this morning. Marshal, I want him thrown clean off the place.
Now, wait a second, Odie. As I recall, you boys took up that homestead as joint tenants, huh? Brace has got as much right there as you have.
Well, Marshal...
Yeah, come in, Brace. We were just talking about it.
I want to get a fella's throat off of my property, Marshal, and that's a fact.
You're referring to Odie Perkins here,
That's
huh?
the fella, Marshal, but him and me ain't speaking, and that's a fact.
You're gall darn tootin', we ain't. Not now nor never.
I'll sign the papers now if you'll just read them up.
I'll remind you, Marshal, I come here first.
Fixing papers for Odie wouldn't be no use no how. Little varmint can't write, and that's a fact.
I can make as good an ex as you can. I mean, he can.
Now, wait a minute.
Just look at him, Marshal. He ought to be ashamed of himself. A great, big, blubber mouth that outweighs me twice again. And he comes in here sniveling for the law to help him out.
Just
a
minute.
He keeps prodding me, and I'm going to whop him good, and that's a fact.
Not while I'm wearing this here six gun, you ain't going to whop nobody. I mean, he ain't going to.
Will you shut up, both of you? Now, who started all this ruckus?
It's personal, Marshal.
Me, I'd rather not say.
Huh? Well, that's just fine. For 15 years, you've ridden together, finally took up land together, and all of a sudden you start sidling around with your hackles up, ready to throw lead at one another. And you won't even say why,
huh? I'm just getting particular who I live with, is all.
I want him out of my house,
Marshal. Now, get this straight, both of you. You own that farm jointly, and I got no legal reason to throw either one of you off. So until you settle your differences or sell out, you're going to make the best of it.
I already offered to buy him out.
I ain't budging, and that's a fact.
All right. If you can't settle it yourselves, I'll settle it for you. Chester.
Yes, sir?
Will you hand me those cards over there?
Yes, sir. Here you are, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Now, as I recall, you got a fair to middling house out there and a mighty good barn. Until you sell, you got to stay on the place to take care of the stock. All right. Now, one of you lives in the house and the other one in the barn, and you'll leave each other alone. Is that completely clear? All right, Brace, you cut first. High card takes his choice.
Well, all right. 10. That's good.
Ain't as good as a queen.
All right, what's your choice, Odie?
The barn. It smells better than McCoy.
Odie, you come around my house and I'll break you in half. That's a fact.
Step 1 foot in my barn, I'll blast you full of holes.
Now remember what I told you, both of you. You leave each other alone.
Guess I better get back out to my house. Good day.
I'll be going to my barn now, Marshal. Much obliged.
Why don't you stand in the breeze a little while, Odie? You might cool off a little.
Well, I declare, if that don't beat all. I guess it ain't nothing serious, so.
It's not like him, Chester. I'm afraid it is serious. I just hope it don't get more so.
With L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos through the modern miracle of the L&M Miracle Tip. Through the Pure White Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you all the flavor you want, the rich, exciting flavor you get only from L&M. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live, live, live modern. Get L&M today.
Well, you're as welcome as a hunter's moon through a tamarack bush.
What? Now you sound like a singing chief of the Cherokees.
No, Kiowas. That's her tribe.
Whose tribe?
Summer Dubs. She spent the afternoon helping me sew costumes.
Summer Dub?
Huh? You remember her, Matt. She's that Indian girl who left the reservation last spring and came into town to work for Ma Smalley at the boarding house.
Oh, yeah, sure, I remember.
She's a good seamstress. A real good cook, too, I hear.
Huh?
Yeah, she's sort of lost since Ma Smalley went back east. Hey, look. She did most of the work on this costume. Do you like it?
Well, it doesn't look like that one took much sewing, Kitty.
This is the kind where the sewing's important.
Yeah. I guess a lot depends on it, huh? How about having a drink with me, huh?
Well, I've tasted the morning wind from the south, and my heart beats the lark song.
What's that?
It means I'll have a drink with you.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute, Kitty.
Matt?
Yeah, what's the matter, Doc?
Well, man, I just drove in from up towards the flat, and I passed the McCoy Perkins farm on the way.
Yeah?
You better get out there, man, before those two kill each other.
What do you mean?
Why, they got a confounded war going on. One of them's barricaded in the barn, the other's holed up in the house. And they're firing bullets back and forth so fast, it sounds like the Battle of Shiloh.
Now, I haven't heard from them for 3 days. I was hoping maybe they'd cooled off by now.
Cooler? They didn't sound very cool when I came by.
Kitty, it looks like you'll have to stretch out that lark song a little, huh?
It's all right, man.
Okay.
Some other time.
By jing, Mr. Dillon, I never realized it was so far out here. Doc wasn't putting on none about it. Doggone if it don't sound like Shiloh.
The blame fools, you'd think they were old enough to have better sense.
Thank goodness, right. Now that's just too doggone close for comfort.
I'll comfort him. Rain up, Chester.
Howdy! Brace! Matt Dillon, hold your fire, both of you!
All right, come on, Chester. Let's go over to the barn first. Odie, you in there?
You're darn shooting I am, Marshal. That big hunk of buzzard bait ain't about to dislodge me, neither.
I am, though. I'll give you just 5 seconds to get that door open and come out here.
Now, wait, Marshal.
You hurt me, Odie.
Okay. I wasn't the one that started.
Chester,
now,
take his gun and keep him covered.
Yes, sir, I sure will, Mr. Dillon. My goodness, Odie.
Brace.
What do you want?
You gonna open that door or you want me to shoot it open?
Now, Marshal, I'll open it. Ain't no call to get all angered up, and that's a fact.
All right, I'll take your gun, Brace, and that's a fact. Here, give it to me. All right, come on out here.
I was only defending myself, Marshal. That scrawny little weasel started it all.
Marshal, don't you believe nothing Brace says. He was born alive.
Shut up, Odie. Well, I guess the only thing to do is to see if you two can manage to get along in separate jail cells. I'm putting you both under arrest for disturbing the peace.
Well, now, wait just a minute.
What do you mean? Ain't nobody around here, Marshal. Whose peace we disturbing?
Mine.
Who?
Come on, let's go.
L&M is the modern cigarette that lets you get all the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos. No other cigarette you can buy, plain or filter, gives you the flavor that you get through the modern miracle of the L&M Miracle Tip. Through the pure white Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live, live, live modern. Get L&M today.
Doc's buggy tied up there, Mr. Dillon. Must be waiting for us in the office.
Yeah.
Oh, good morning, Matt.
Morning, Doc.
Hey, Chester.
Hello, Doc.
Well, I've got an hour to kill, Matt. Just time to beat the socks off of you in a game of chess. Board's all set up and...
Well, good, Doc. Let me take a look at my prisoners first, huh?
Who is it, Matt?
Odie Perkins and Brace McCoy.
Is that so?
Yeah, I'll be right back. Oh, morning, boys.
Marshal.
Well, how about it? You about ready to stop feuding?
Sure. If Brace will get himself off my property, I will.
I ain't even to budge, Marshal, and that's a fact.
You kind of like it here, huh?
Man can't go back on his principles, Marshal.
He ain't got no more principles than a hungry coyote.
All right, that's enough. You act like a couple of wet roosters. You can't even remember what the whole thing started about.
I remember, all right.
I'll tell you what it started about, Marshal. It started because Brace didn't figure I was fancying his vittles up enough to suit him.
For a whole week, Marshal, he didn't fix nothing but flapjacks in the morning and hominy grits at night.
With side meat in them.
Weren't side meat. It was sow belly and it weren't fit to eat.
You know what he done, Marshal, when I put them grits on the table? He throwed them on the floor and tromped all over them with his boots on.
That's all he was fitting for. I wouldn't throw vittles like that to the hog.
I seen many a day you'd be glad for.
Now, wait a minute. Is this the truth? Is this what this whole thing's all about?
Well, it's what's... it started about.
But it ain't what it's about now. Not anymore, it ain't, Marshal.
No, sir. It's a lot more than that now.
I come to realize I've been keeping a viper in my bosom.
You can be mighty mistaken about a man, Marshal, and that's a fact.
Yeah. But you two thought well of each other for years. Now, it seems to me a friendship like that ought to last over at least one fool argument.
Brace McCoy ain't no friend of mine, not no more he ain't.
Once I get out of this cell, I'm gonna whop that little gopher to an inch of his life.
Right across the sights of my gun. That's how I want
to
see
it. All right, boys, all right. Just settle back. Looks like you're gonna have plenty of time to think up names to call each other.
Marshal.
Yeah?
How long you aim to keep us in this miserable old jailhouse?
Well, you got some sense. Or die of old age.
How they making out, man?
Oh, like a pair of tomcats, Doc. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I can't keep them locked up forever.
For two nice fellows like them, they sure did turn mean awful sudden.
If you ask me, they're both probably aching to make up.
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking along those same lines, Doc. Seems to me they could have killed each other out there on the farm if they'd really been trying to.
Of course they could. Why, they must have fired over 100 rounds at each other.
Yeah, but if I let them out, they'll either kill each other by accident or kill somebody else. Unless they could... yeah. Chester.
Yes, sir?
There's an Indian woman named Summerdub somewhere around town. Kitty can tell you where she is. Go find her and get her over here as soon as you can, will you?
All right, Mr. Dillon.
Boys, this is Summerdove. These are the two men I was telling you about, Summerdove. The short, skinny one is Odie Perkins, and the fat one's Brace McCoy.
How do?
Howdy, Miss Dove.
Glad to know you, man.
Summerdove's one of the best cooks in Ford County, boys. Ma Smalley taught her, huh?
So?
Now, she needs a place to live. She'll work for her keep.
What are you getting at, Marshal?
Well, you boys got a place out there that you're not using, that lean-to against the barn. It might be fixed up pretty comfortable. Like I said, Summerdove's a mighty fine cook.
All right. I'd be proud to hire on Miss Summerdove, Marshal, providing you fix it to keep that ornery sidewinder away from my property.
Ah, sidewinder, you...
Brace, you come within 20 yards of me, you better come a-shooting.
All right, boys, hold it. Well, Summerdove, these are the two men I thought... you might like to work for, or for one of them, more likely.
One man, two men, makes no difference.
All right. You wait out in the office for me, will you?
Me go.
Yeah. Boys, if you can't come to any agreement, it looks like there's only one way to settle this.
What do you got there, Marshal?
Your guns. I figure you couldn't kill each other out there at the farm because you had too much cover, but here it's different.
What are you doing, Marshal?
I'm putting your guns on the floor of your cells, but neither one of you touch them now till I'm out of here.
Oh, now, wait just a minute.
I don't like this, Marshal, and that's a fact.
There's nothing between you now but an 8-foot corridor and open bars. Now, you get it settled, boys, one way or the other. I'll be in my office. I think that'll do it.
Go!
Mate, Doc.
Doggone you, Matt. Oh, that was a sneaky move. Yes, it was, if I ever saw it.
Yeah, it was. Oh. I swear I can't get over it, Mr. Dillon. Odie and Brace walking out of here that way, arm in arm, like there hadn't never been no crossword between them.
Well, it's like Doc said, Chester. They were anxious enough to make up. All they needed was a push.
Well, you sure did take a big chance, though, giving them their guns back.
Ah, they didn't want to kill each other. Somebody just had to make them realize it, that's all. I wasn't taking much chance.
He sure wasn't, Chester. Not the way he did it.
Chester, you can ride out there tomorrow and take these guns to him, if you will, and see if Summerdove's got herself settled down, huh?
All right, Mr. Dillon. What do you mean, Doc, not the way he did it?
Just that, Chester. Matt doesn't take any chances.
You don't call that taking a chance when they might have killed each other?
Not with the blanks he made and putting their guns.
The blanks? He made... Blank?
Sure, like those actors use on the stage.
What?
Oh, of course, I figured what he was up to. He didn't fool me any.
Well, you sure fooled me, Mr. Dillon. I was sitting here on pins and needles just waiting for the sound of death.
Oh, you're an easy mark, Chester.
You know, Doc, I was pretty sure about those fellas all the time.
You were?
Yeah. You see that whiskey bottle out there?
Of course I see it. Why?
Blanks, Doc?
In a moment, our star, William Conrad. The world may indeed be shrinking, and people abroad are next-door neighbors, but there's still a lot of misconception and confusion on both sides of the ocean between these new neighbors. It's the kind of misconception and confusion that's cleared up best of all by personal contact, the contact of letters, for instance. There are many men and women abroad who realize they get a false impression of our country from local sources. They are eager to be in correspondence with individuals in this country. They're sure that in the easy give and take of letters, they'd find out what Americans are really like, how they really work and live. If you're interested in writing to one of those Europeans, send your name with a stamped, self-addressed envelope to Letters Abroad, 45 East 65th Street, New York, New York. That's Letters Abroad, 45 East 65th Street, New York, New York. Include information about your age, occupation, and interests to help toward the selection of a suitable correspondent for you. And now, William Conrad.
You know, there weren't too many formal burials on the frontier. Usually the dead man was just wrapped in his saddle blanket and laid away on Boot Hill. However, next week, Dodge City watches a formal burial, while the coffin contains nothing but rocks. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Barney Phillips, and Peggy Ray. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.